Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Orly Benny Davis and this is From Jerusalem with Love. Today is March 20th, 2019 and we are here in Israel praying all for the safeguards of all those people affected by the biggest cyclone ever in Africa. The Umango cyclone that captures so many people unready, unprepared, and we are asking everybody around the globe to try to help them, whoever can. It's a effort that we need to take together. Now, today is an interesting, incredible show because we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about the election. We're going to talk about the APEC upcoming summit. And, of course, we're going to talk about the day that made history, the 20th of March, 2003, where American troops marched into Iraq and started the longest war ever that America took place, 8 years and some. Then we're going to talk about what's happening in Temple Mount and what we need to consider as fact as the peace process that we signed with Jordan. Jordan peace process does include Temple Mount, and it seems like they are claiming everything all over again, and we need to set the stage for new peace accords. Egypt is still, you know, over the border in the Sinai, something that we need to call upon them and remind everybody that the peace accord with Egypt needs to be reviewed again. I think that Bibi Netanyahu did so much for this country, but it's so much neglected the important thing. So it's time for a new election and it's time for a new beginning. And I'm sure that you guys all understand that when you are so much in power, something has to give. So I hope that you stick around. We'll chat in the chat room. And wherever you are, I hope that you have a blessed day. And for all the Jewish friends all around the globe, Happy Purim. It's a great holiday that reminds us all that even when everything is lost, we can still survive and make it happen. So stick around and be good.
Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind,
every Thursday.
And we are back. It's Orly Ben Davis, and this is From Jerusalem with Love. Today is March 20th, and that reminds us all that the invasion to Iraq was happening the same day in 2003. The 2003 invasion of Iraq was the first stage of the war in Iraq that took so many years and so many people die. Now, everybody's remember there was so many repercussion of what happened and why did we go to war in Iraq. And the issue is really clear. There was a danger for the worldwide from the Iraqi then Saddam Hussein. Everybody in Al Jazeera is trying to pretend that the American administration, then George W. Bush, made a big mistake or lead the people to a war that wasn't necessary. Now, the question if it was necessary, it's always an opinion. Just remember the stage. It's 2003, short after the 2001 Twin Tower terror attack. The American government was surprised. It wasn't something that we expected to happen ever, and we needed to take back the control of the security of America. Now, where the security was lying, where the bed of the, you know, the center of terrorism that was in Iraq. And if anybody goes to history, they need to remember that then in Iraq, like more than 500,000 people a year were life were lost of citizen because there was a massive killing of Saddam Hussein. He was a dictator. He wasn't a democratic leader. And America did not go to war just in case. And if you remember, the first war, the first Gulf War, was a war that found Israel under missile attack from Iraq. Just imagine you're sitting in Tel Aviv and there are missiles from Iraq. And we have a reminder, because last week we had a missile from Gaza. People don't understand that living in the Middle East make you see the thing from a different perspective. But America realized that, you know, the place where all the terrorism were, you know, terrorists were trained, the incredible, massive massive factories that Saddam Hussein made for weapon of mass destruction. Now, people saying that we never found it. We never found the weapon of mass destruction. So let's remind everybody. Remember, there was UNSCOM. UNSCOM was the agency of the United Nations that went to inspect the facilities of Saddam Hussein. For some reason, in 1998, they stopped. Saddam Hussein rejected them, and there was incredible understanding that there is massive weapon of mass destruction, but he's not letting the inspector in. So they left, and in 2003, they said there were no proof of weapon of mass destruction. But just imagine, this is Iraq. This is a territory that is humongous. No one actually ever went to drill to find if there was anywhere else, you know, the weapon was placed anywhere else because it was hiding them. And the idea that Syria all of a sudden come up in 2013 with a chemical weapon just make you think where the chemical weapon came from. Iraq and Syria are close by. So if you think about all the logistic, you can imagine that there is a connection. And then in 2003, Syria still was in Lebanon. So the connection of Syria in Lebanon and Iraq was very, very convenient for everybody. And the people who work with terror are all connected. It's a chain of events that come one after another, and people can come today, Al Jazeera can come today and blame America for invading Iraq. We don't like the fact that America went to Iraq, but it was necessary to claim back the control, because the world were going wacko. And don't think that the people in America weren't affected. We had a fall down, incredible fall down of economy in 2008. And that's something that created by the war, of course, and by the freeze of so many engines of the economic factors in the world because what happened in 9/11. 9/11 was a hit on the heart of economical power. It's World Trade Center. There was a reasoning behind it, not just because it was New York, not because it was America. It was because it was the World Trade Center. It was against everything that we stand for the freedom, for the liberty, for the goodness of helping and working together. If you come and shoot down in the middle of the day, no, actually it was morning. In the morning, if you shut two two incredible towered towns, and you think that America will stand still, you are surprisingly not connected to this world, because America will come after them again and again. Now, we're not saying that this emergency state that Donald Trump claimed now is something that we like, but it's so important, because the stage of emergency, it's not only in the war, the wall that he want to build, it's because the rest of it, it's all around. If people are coming to invade your country, it doesn't matter if they invaded with a trolley, or if they invaded by foot. The invasion is organized and orchestrated. And America need to reposition itself again, because they are coming after all of us. Now, I support Donald Trump's claim for emergency session. He actually did something that Bibi Netanyahu did not do, because when you have two missiles launched on Tel Aviv, you must call an emergency state. But Bibi Netanyahu is so occupied with himself, with being funny or being silly, because somebody is trying to claim the throne that he's sitting in. And I'm telling you guys and all that Bibi Netanyahu's job is done. He's so over his head with negligence, with, you know, mishap, and all the things that he illegally is doing constantly without even monitoring what he's doing anymore, because he's shooting off the hip. And next week, he's going to find himself in front of all those audience, and they're going to ask him, what did you do for Israel lately? What did you do to make it better? And you know what? I'm not sure that he has a good answer. So let's go back. The fact of the matter is, we're going to talk about the Bibi Netanyahu in the next segment, but we're going to talk about the fact that America's position in Iraq was something that needed to be taken. And I remember that day that President Bush announced that America is going to war. It was very sad. I was in Washington, D.C., sitting with the massive audience of the National Republican Committee, and we all felt the load of, you know, incredible moment in history. We knew America is going to war. Nobody was happy. Nobody wanted to go and conquer another state. But we knew that we have a terrorist. Saddam Hussein maybe wasn't doing it in that moment, but the whole apparatus was of terror, and he terrorized his neighbor and his people, and America did what America thought it was right for it. And, you know, you cannot blame him, and I'm second, and I'm standing with America constantly on this one. We needed to do what is right, even that it costs so much. Now, think about it. Emergency stage is now in effect also for the wall. The wall that is necessary to safeguard. And people who say that walls don't create safety, well, of course they don't. But they do a factor. They make a factor. They are a part of it. So please stand with Donald Trump, stand with the President of America, because he's doing a humongous job for the economy, for the endurance of America, and for the incredible leadership that he represents, with his beautiful, lovely wife, that she's terrific. She is such a gentle soul that we are all lucky to have a first lady that not just she's incredibly beautiful and incredibly fashion styled like there is no tomorrow, but it's because she's special, and her soul and kind heart is something that America needs. And we see it every day again and again. And Donald Trump is a lucky man to have her by his side to serve America. And we are grateful for those incredible people that come and take a time to serve in this stage. And we need them, and we need them to keep on doing the right job. I know that it's going to be incredible time in history, so write it down. 20th of March, 2003 was the war. Now we are years after. We need to talk about and include air on that. All right, we're going to be going to a break, and we'll be back after a short time, and we're going to talk about the election in Israel. It's going to be lovely.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis, and this is From Jerusalem with Love. I want to welcome all our friends all around the globe, from the USA, our lovely USA, Israel, Canada, United Kingdom, Denmark, Poland, Belgium, Ireland. God, we are so happy to have all you. We have many more else that are listening to us. They are all over the globe, and they're joining together to listen to words from the Holy Land. So first of all, let's do a prayer together, blessing you all, because this is the eve of the holiday of Purim. Purim today was the fast of Esther. The story of Purim is very nice because it's a story about the incredible princess, let's say. It's like a story of a little girl that came and she married the king, and then she became the queen, of course, Esther. And when somebody decided to kill the Jews, like they come again and again every time, she come before the queen and the king. And before she came to the king, because it was such an incredible task, she fasted that day. She was praying. This was a day of prayer for her, to come before the king and ask for his to gracefully dismiss what they wanted to kill, all his, her families and friends, the Jews, of course. So the situation turned around, and sure enough, the king, changed the rules, and everything was happy, and, you know, and they lived the happily ever after. And the old story is taking place in Persia. Persia, the Iran that, always decided to fight us for some reason. It was the story that we celebrate. So Persia is mentioned today in, you know, the king of Persia was mentioned in a good thing, because he actually saved the Jews that day. So there will be a time where the Persian will not be enemy anymore, and maybe we can celebrate together again. Now, the story of today reminds us that when you come before God, or you come before people that are have a very powerful thing, fasting is a method, it's a Jewish method to ask for God's help. And everybody can relate to that moment where they feel that they need help. And there is no other things that, you know, can come and help them. And the only thing that maybe is that important meeting. So they come and praying. And praying and fasting bring your best in you. Because what's fast does? Food is a connection to the physical world. When you don't eat, you connected your soul to the higher level, so the body become lighter, obviously. So your soul can connect better to the internal, the eternal intelligence of God. And when you're connected, you have actually a better understanding. So fasting is a method that we use every Kippur, you know, many times in lifetime, in every year, the Jewish tradition have fasting, but the fast actually claim your coming to repentance. It claim to that you are willing to accept what is taking place, and then you actually bow to the glory of God. And it gives you a different understanding and joy, a joy. After everybody that fasts know that after that come like, you know, it's a kind of a little redemption that you feel that, okay, now we can start again. So tonight when we celebrate the Eve of Purim, which it's important holiday, everybody is masquerading and they come and they drink and they have a big feast. It's important to remember that you can overcome most of your challenges in your life. So stay put and understand that. Now, you guys from all over the world, when I pray with you, I want to remind you all that we all come to this world for a segment of time. We have a job to do. If we do it right, God Almighty gave us the connection, like Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth, she's almighty queen of this world. And let's be, you know, gracious to recognize that she's the most important woman in this generation to live and to take such a role. And we're not talking about any role. It's not like she's a queen in some little country. England is a factor in this universe again and again. And her presence, she encompasses a total grace, total divinity, and you know, a mission to be a graceful soul to the world. And for that, I bless you all with an incredible example that we have with this humongous lady. And then we ask the question, why do we have a problem with other leaders? What the difference between this incredible lady, a queen of her stature that there is no other to, that I know personally, of course, but to the other leaders that come, and then once they feel power, they are so perfumed by their incredible nonsense of importance that they forget that they're only a tool in this universe for the world to function. And they misrepresent themselves by claiming goods, we're talking goods, okay, physical goods. We're talking about a prestige, like a good name. And even, you know, the erect status. Remember, there are people all around the world that erect status and, you know, for them, the self. And then you see it after the revolution, the statue fall down. What was it? In Iraq. You had it in Russia. You had it in so many places where that status. Because Bibi Netanyahu, for example, is a man that started on a mission. This guy was incredible. We loved him. But then his art turned to the wrong place. He actually become a little greedy. Now tell me, under what rules of any democracy in the world, a leading member of the parliament, a leading member of the prime minister position can have income from other sources? Don't we all know that you're not allowed to have other sources? There is no friendly gift. There is no business loan. There is nothing. When you serve the people, your pocket needs to be only the one that the people give you. Any kind of influence of others means that you're subjected to blackmail, right? Or you are subjected to influence, something that we don't like. It's called bribery, right? Now, when today Prime Minister Netanyahu was blaming Gantz for the Iranian, listen to this story. There was a story that saying that the Iranian tapped into Gantz. Benny Gantz is the contender to the prime minister job. And Bibi Netanyahu says the Iranian tapped in. First of all, there is a rule of secrecy that Benjamin Netanyahu forgot to honor for many years already. Is becoming really negligent with secrecy, not talking about the files in Iran, not talking about the issue of bombing any place. He's just, you know, the national security for him is a show. He can come and claim everything, and of course, he's the boss, he's the one who made it. All those people are slaves. They are not worthy of anything, of any credit. They are slaves. They're black worker for him. They are not doing... He doesn't care. It's all him. And then he gets millions in the bank account for something he sold. I don't understand how he even perceived that it's okay. Or, you know, in America, the guy would take his coat and say, goodbye, I'm quitting. And he should do that because his end is going to be very bad if he doesn't, because they're going to prosecute him. There is nothing. You know, the Israeli people can go so far and get abused so far. Then there is a moment they said, oops, enough. We need to restart and think again. And Benny Gantz is a good guy. I don't know what he has on his cell phone, and I don't know why the Iranian or anybody can tap into him and, you know, and say that there's going to be blackmail. I don't know what picture or something he has, but it doesn't matter. This, the thing about it, this election is going to change the rule of conduct of this government. This government is corrupt. And once you're corrupt, it's over. You need to understand that people or any government who gives terrorist organization $15 million in suitcase is actually contributing to terror. If you finance terror, it's against the national security of one homeland. And, you know, I know that it's crooked and it's weird, and you cannot even think that it's actually happening. But Bibi Netanyahu authorized moving of suitcase money that they said from the Qatari. I'm apologize if I'm laughing, but if you think that to give Hamas suitcase of money is okay, you must understand that I don't know any legit operation that goes on cash value will pass the tax. Because it seems like something is wrong.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we are back, Orly Benny Davis, and this is From Jerusalem with Love. You know, guys, it's important for us all to understand that dealing with terrorist organization is very tricky. So you need to really understand how they operate and what they do, and money does make them work more. So Bibi Netanyahu, when you're moving money to terrorist organization, this is not good. Now, we're not going to talk about it, but we're going to talk about the fact that next week there is the APEC summit, the most incredible summit of all the year. It's going to take place in Washington, D.C. It's a humongous in the conference center center in the center of DC. Many people from all around the world are gonna be there. There are gonna be tons of media, of course, and I'm invited. It's so incredible that I am invited to talk about it. So thank you so much, APAC, for this. I am honored and I'm pleased to be a part of the press corps as far as the APAC summits go. And I'm not sure that I can make it to that summit because Israel is Israel. It's far away. But I'm going to cover it from here, and I'm going to check what I can do to make to put my side of the game. Now, when you go to APAC, it's amazing because they talk about the issue. The issues of the peace accords, the issue about the Palestinian in Israel, the issues about everything that Israel does in the world, and give you an insight to the technology, to the high-tech, or the incredible, entrepreneurship that Israel does, because Israel is the nation that's supposed to bring light upon nation. And sometimes, you know, it's not easy when people think that being smart is to take advantage of others. Jewish people are smart, and they should always use their smartness and goodness for grace and for charity and for hard work, of course, and hard work, but never to take advantage of others. So I'm sure that we're getting better and better through the years, and people do understand that we are working hard to produce and to be an engine in every country. In every country, when you find Jewish people, you know that they are working hard for the community, working hard for their family and the state. So I trust that whatever anti-Semitism was rising in Europe, it's going to be a little, it's going to vanish, because right now it seems like the Christian took a hit on one of those mosques. And that incredible attack just remind us all that, you know, the Christians are big. It's not Jews are little as far as amount. But if the Muslims community and with their terrorist organization that claim so many life really push the wrong button, you have Christian, terror too. So it's nothing that surprising, but it's nothing that we're really looking forward to see. But I'm just saying we need to bear with this world and make it to better. Now, I'm not going to sing Kumbaya to you all, because I got my scar for the battle of my life too. And I've been through a lot, you know, living in three continents and, you know, moving. Every country is different. Coming back from America to Israel is crazy, because it's a different kind of set of rules that I need to engage in. Being a lobbyist and actually a politician in America, coming to Israel, they're working with a different rules, and it's not easy. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy sometimes, but you see, I would love to come to Washington and be there, and even, you know, to interview the most incredible people that are going to be there. But, something has to give, let's say. But as far as that goes, APAC is going to be one incredible summit to all witness and attend. And any claim that there is a dual membership or dual loyalty doesn't understand. It's like, are you faithful to God or to your country? Can you divide those two? Israel is not only a state, it's the core of godliness that's supposed to create. Every time you guys second guess the existence of Israel, you're trying to second guess the existence of God. Because If you have a question in this, I will send you to any store, bookstore all around the universe, and go and buy the book, the most popular book of all time, the Bible, and read the Bible. And if you can find something wrong about claiming Israel as, you know, a strategic friend or a place of God or anything, Well, you have a problem because this is the wheel of the spiritual world we're living in, and there is a division, and this country is the encompass the total amount of belief. You can be anything and you come in peace. This is your place, okay? This is a place where peace needs to rule, not anything else. Now, I'm running out of time, and it's really, really hard for me to say goodbye to you again and again because I miss you every time. And a week along, it's a long way to wait to come to talk to you again. But I must tell you something. Israel is going to be under a lot of change right now. Many silly, stupid people will think that it will be a time to heater. And I would dare them not to try because it will be the time that they're going to get a very bad reaction because Bibi Netanyahu's polls are sinking and he's not going to be elected again. So he will do everything in his power to stay in power. And you know what? It's childish-like behavior, but this is who he is, and I cannot understand, but it doesn't matter. I'm not on his I'm not here to support any kind of childish behavior of our leadership. Leadership should be adult and should be responsible and should be caring for the people and loving. None of this actually happened. You know, an education is something that we need to do always, constantly. I didn't see parks of education anywhere. There is under Benjamin Netanyahu, ignorance is the rules. And this is what hurts the most because I expected a lot from that man. Anyway, so I hope we cover all the issues that we talked and we pray with Africa because it's the most important thing. People are, you know, in a very, very challenging position right now after the cycle hit them. And we are hoping for safeguards of many more lives. But before we go, I want to remind Jordan, the kingdom, the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan, of the peace accord on Temple Mount, a peace of accord that recognized Jerusalem holy site as holy for everybody, and it was their responsibility to keep it safe, not to invade. There is a status quo. There is by the rule, nobody is allowed. Actually, they claim in the international rule on Jerusalem, the international rules on Jerusalem say nobody should change the demographic on the site. And for some reason, they think that they can change it. They think that they can invade a space that was closed and claim it. So I'm saying the peace accord with Jordan needs to be reviewed. The peace accord with Jordan need to be re-examined. And maybe a new position will come when the Jews can actually pray and their holy place of all. The Jews have the right to exist in Israel. It's the Holy Land. It's the place where they come from Abraham, the time when they come from the kingdom of David and kingdom of Solomon. We need to recognize that this time in history to remind everybody that Temple Mount solution is not a good solution, and the peace accord of Jordan determined there. Jordan does not have any claim, not on the West Bank or on Jerusalem. She has no claim because that's where your peace accord is. The only thing is you have a special condition on the shrine and you're abusing it. The king of Jordan, which is not King Hussein, his father, God bless his soul, was a humongous king. And he signed that accord, but the sun does not reflect the spirit of that accord. So I'm calling upon Jordan. This is the day where the Purim, the eve of Purim, where people from Persia actually wanted to kill us all and to save us, to come back and be our friend. You are my brother. You are all our brother and sister. This is our world. We need to come and mend it. And all the ladies of this world, God bless you. Be the King Esther of today. Be wonderful. I hope all my Jewish friends all around the globe, happy Purim. Enjoy. Celebrate with your children. Have a fantastic feast because this moment in history, every time they remember, when they're little, they remember their mom. When they're big, they'll come back to celebrate with you. So just remember. So we run out of time. It's a wonderful time of the year to celebrate. We thank you all for listening to Israel News Talk Radio. I hope that I can cover APOC Summit some in some special condition next week. I hope that you all stay put and happy. And from all of you, you know, wherever you are, be safe, be joyful, and God bless you all. I'm praying with you, and I'm sending you all my love and my grace. I'm praying for grace for all of you. Okay? Be good. All the best. Ciao, ciao.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.